Welcome to Two Bards, One Mic. Insert interesting music here.
I swear we're actually going to get music one of these days.
Nah.
249. Hey, Scott, how's it going?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
Not too bad. Little emptier here today. No special guests. Though Michael is over in the corner playing on his new gaming machine.
So, oh.
Yeah, we got that put together this weekend. Well, when we go through weeks, it was a whole thing. We'll talk about that.
Okay.
Yeah, how about you? How you doing?
Pretty good. I'm not sure if it's this. Are you in a fairly empty room?
Yes.
Okay.
Are you getting echo?
I'm not getting echo, but I can definitely tell that it's not a populated room.
Yeah, I mean we've got some furniture, but there's not much on the walls.
Yeah.
So they're a little sharp.
And that's okay.
We'll see how it goes. Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. Don't want dull walls.
Nope.
So, yeah. So, how was your week? Two weeks, right? We're getting closer to being back on the weekly cadence.
Yes. As I recall, where's today? 21st. So we did. Oh yeah. So they were pretty good. Jen's birthday was right after the last podcast.
Oh, happy birthday, Jen.
And Butler closed, as we all know, because Rob was on. Right. Let's see. Oh, I went to Sun River, Oregon with some friends of mine from high school.
Very cool.
And Jen always says, I thought you said you didn't have any friends in high school. Okay, these are people that I went to high school with who, once we grew up, decided I wasn't that guy.
Okay. So there you go, yeah.
So, yeah. And it was really nice. It was supposed to be a whole bunch of us. And we planned the trip about 6 months ago. Mm-hmm. And one of my buddies has a place there that he owns, and it's a time... He rents it out.
Right, okay.
And they just got that. So he was kind of showing it off and stuff. And it's really nice little place. Sleeps comfortably in bedrooms. There's at least two queen beds. One might be a king. And then there's a full/twin bunk. One of those two different sizes. And then another twin. And if anybody... hears anything in the background on my end, it's Ray. We went for a long walk in the rain, and now she's full of vim and vigor and taking it out on her rope bone.
Yeah. I know how that goes, especially taking it out on my rope bone.
Yeah. So it ended up being just four of us through various work, health, and other situations.
It's basically you're running this friendship through an adult filter. Got it?
Yeah. And the nice thing was we were supposed to do it in September, and I said, I'm directing a show, and, you know, once it opens, I don't have to be there every weekend. And Ty was like, nope, if you can't make it, we're not doing it. So we'll move it to October. Mm-hmm. So that was great.
Yeah, very cool.
And we had a really good time. I did some cooking. We played disc golf for the first time with like real discs.
Yeah.
In the real baskets. The last time I played was with a regular frisbee and like hula hoops on the ground.
Right, right. Yeah.
Which is not disc golf anymore.
Let's clarify. Disc golf is slightly different than ultimate frisbee. It is legitimately golf with discs. So.
And
a lot of people confuse them.
Then we played some pickleball for the first time. Had to Google the rules. We had all the equipment, just didn't quite know how to play.
Is pickleball the one with the really thin bat?
No, pickleball is like a cross between ping pong and tennis.
Oh, okay.
So you have about a ping pong paddle size, a little bit bigger, wooden paddle. You have a hard or a, I should say a semi-rigid wiffle ball.
Mm-hmm.
And you play on a tennis-type court, but you can get a lot more pickleball. It's really interesting. It's very similar to a cross between the two, between ping pong and tennis. The nice thing is you don't have a sprung racket with a squishy ball. I always hit it over the gated fence of the court. So this, it's really hard to do. And it's kind of nice because you have to serve it. It has to bounce. They have to return the serve. It has to bounce. And there's a place called the kitchen, which is about a 4-foot area on either side of the net that you cannot occupy unless you're going to dig out a short hit or something. So you can't stand there and just smack the ball. So it's a very gentlemanly read geriatric game.
It sounds like extreme badminton a little bit.
Yeah. Yes.
Like it's a little bit faster paced or a little bit like, you know, because I mean, when you're dealing with a ball, you're dealing with slightly faster projectiles than when you're dealing with shuttlecocks.
Yes, for sure. And it was great. The days had about a 50 degree temperature swing.
Oh, my.
We got up and it was 15 degrees. And by the afternoon, it was 65 degrees. And it was about that. I think it was a little, that was on the second day we were there. The day that we went and actually played golf, Reed, three guys played golf. I drove, and, drove the cart, not drove the ball.
No, I figured you meant.
Yeah. It was 17 in the morning and about 51 during, no, I guess it was warmer than that. But anyway, yeah, it was a good, relaxing time to just get away with nothing and hang out with some friends and just relax in an adult/childish sort of way. So,
which again is another thing that's harder to do as an adult is find sort of childless activities.
Yeah, well, I meant childish.
Childish, gotcha. You got to be kids.
Darren nor I have children, and Tyler's and Rick's are now, Tyler's son Daniel is now finally out of the house in college, and Rick's son is going to Clemson, of all places.
Clemson?
Yeah. Cool. So that was, yeah, that was about it. A lot of dog walking and Poe rehearsals because I'm reading The Raven in an evening of Edgar Allan Poe this coming Saturday.
Gotcha.
As a new series we're trying at Renton Civic. Something.
So does that mean
domain.
You will not be, that means you will not be attending the housewarming then?
That is correct. As I, I said on the podcast last time, I think when we were sort of, or maybe it was off the podcast. I can't remember.
But I think it was off. Okay, cool. I just didn't see an RSVP, so.
I didn't even, this is how much you knew back then. I didn't even get an invite.
No, I sent you one.
On 100%.
What? HarleyBigDog at Gmail.
Via we what?
Probably should bleep that. Via Evite.
Huh, I didn't see it.
Might have gone to spam.
Might have.
You're going to want to go ahead and bleep that email address.
I don't care. But, yeah, so unfortunately I will not be in attendance.
Okay. Well, we will miss you. Sadly, Brophy can't make it either. He's going to be somewhere else. And, I invited Ian as well, and he's going to be out of country. So hopefully after he gets back, we'll be able to hang out some more, but such is life.
Yes. And then November 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, I'm taking a Stephen Salaminovich acting, or I guess more appropriately, auditioning class. He's one of the better casting directors that we had here in Seattle, but he sees everything going to self-tape, which is, as we all agree, a bunch of bullshit. So he
I just
retired.
Hate doing it. I hate it so much.
Yeah.
You don't get any feedback. You don't get a chance to like show how you work with. I don't like self-tape personally, which I just got an audition for one due on Thursday. So I'm going to be doing a self-tape. I hate them so much, but it is what it is.
My problem is trying to clear a space that's blank behind me where I can set things up and record it.
Right.
But, it's just, the last one I did was just absolute dog crap. But
yeah, that's how I feel too. So don't feel so bad.
And how was your week?
Well, let's see. So not yesterday, but the previous Sunday, I was on the Scottish play. It was a non-speaking background part, but it was still fun to go sort of hang out on set. Aubrey was there. I got to work with Christian, who spells his name with a K and a J. I don't know if you've ever worked with him, but he's pretty great. Carpooled in with David Hogan, so that was a lot of fun. But yeah, so it was good to be on set, and it was a really, really good set. They, you know, they asked for my size and they got my size. They asked for, you know, I told them I'm not going to have any special shoes because I knew it was for an orderly. And they're like, oh, well, what's your size? And I gave them my size and they got the correct size of the correct shoe.
Nice.
It was amazing. Yeah, that like never happens. It's like, oh, can you bring, you know, 18th century gaucho boots? And no, I don't know. Why would you even ask that? So when it comes to costuming, they were on it, which was great. It was a lot of fun. I got to watch David pretend to get hit by a car, so that was cool. Additionally, so we've been doing a shit ton of like house repairs and upgrades and stuff. So like yesterday, Aaron was in the attic. And I was drilling holes and running wire snakes to her so that we could wire up our surround sound in the living room to not run cables. Basically, we ran them all through the crawl space and we put plates on all the walls so that we can just plug directly into those rather than, you know, having speaker wire strung across the wall. So that's pretty cool. Additionally, like I was saying earlier, we built a gaming computer for Michael. So it was a lot of fun. It's my first AMD build in like 20 years, maybe. Maybe less than, I mean, no, it, let's see. So that would have put me at 23. Yeah, it's my first AMD build in 20 years. Full AMD. So we got the Ryzen, I want to say RX 3700, RX is wrong, right? See, I don't know AMD very well at all. But it's the 3700, not the Threadripper, but one of their higher thread, like Sheets, it's higher thread count. So it's luxurious. And then we got, the Vega 57. It's a pretty nice graphics card. I think it's got 8 gigs. And it competes really well with like the 2070 series.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of in that ballpark. Much cheaper though, like much cheaper.
Yeah.
So yeah, we got all that set up, and all of the parts came in like early last week. They came in the week before last week. So they were in, I want to say Wednesday or the Wednesday after Rob left, or after Rob left here.
Mm-hmm.
So after the last podcast, they were in that Wednesday. And we got it all set up, and the motherboard caught fire. It had a bad power chip on it, a bad power regulator.
What?
So luck. Yeah, I know, right? Like it actually caught fire. Luckily, Newegg is not as shitty as they used to be. They immediately approved an RMA and sent it out. It took about another week and a couple days, I think. No, mm-hmm. It was maybe about a week even to get the replacement board. So we got all that in. Works great now. He's got an HDR monitor. It's only 1440p, but it's still pretty nice. I mean, HDR is incredible. So for gaming, because his primary use is gaming, I would say 1440 is where I would probably live if that were my primary use case too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Everything runs at like 60 or higher. We were able to get, I think his Gears of War is running at ultra settings. So Gears of War 5 is running at ultra settings. at like 75 or somewhere around there.
Nice.
80 at some, yeah. So
plus you can get those ultra wide curved screens at that resolution, which is nice for gaming.
Yeah, so he's got a curved screen. It's not an ultra wide, so it's it's true 1440p.
Mm-hmm.
But it's got, like I said, HDR, which is incredible. I mean, it is so nice to look over and see this like amazing like you see detail, amazing detail in the darks and the lights. It's just beautiful. And while we were talking, it looks like it just locked up. Oh no, it didn't. It was just loading. I just looked over and the screen had locked up. I was like, that's appropriate. So yeah, and we've been just loving it out here. You know, every once in a while we'll look out the window and like a buck will be walking through the yard, or a doe and her fawns will be walking through the yard. So that's cool. And yeah, there's a lot of work to get everything sort of settled.
Mm-hmm.
And it is taking a while. We've still got, I'm actually missing Don Thacker's wedding because I have a couple of things I can't move that are on the same day.
Mm.
Well, in addition, it's also a 6-hour drive on a Friday, which I don't have any more time off right now.
Yeah, but where is he doing it?
Bend, Oregon.
Oh, okay, just right where I was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Which, you know, it's just not day trippable at this point. So, but in addition, I can't move some of the stuff that's happening. Like, if I move it, it'll be next year before stuff gets done, and I can't do that. So, other than that, you know, work, playing a few games, not a ton, not as much as I'd like, obviously, but, overall that's about it. So, yeah.
Nice. Now, are the new AMD cards,
mm-hmm.
I've been seeing stuff that they're doing a lot of computational work, it seems, for video, or are NVIDIA still the only thing for us at this point?
So it depends entirely on what you're doing, okay? So first of all, a lot of video work is still CPU bound, and CPU stuff, Intel's still kind of king of the heap.
Mm-hmm.
Threadripper's great, right? I mean, 24 threads is amazing. 32, I think it goes up to like 32 threads, maybe mm-hmm. even 36. That's great and all, but when most of your programs don't utilize over 12, what's the point, right?
Right.
So, you know, from that perspective, like CUDA rendering, so basically GPU rendering in something like Blender is shockingly not a big thing. It's used for preview rendering a lot, but not as much for final rendering. That's still usually CPU. So having a chump graphic card, but having like dual Xeon, you know, 32 core procs is still going to be hella better for you. I mean, that's expensive as hell, but you know, mm-hmm. it's still going to be way better. As far as the AMD stuff goes, it's pretty good. You know, it'll do. I mean, all of it's fairly comparable at price. So I think Intel still has a couple of advantages for the productivity side.
Mm-hmm.
AMD's pretty good at gaming. They don't have the RTX stuff really going yet, but hopefully soon, you know, that stuff will be a little better. But overall, you know, competition is what made Intel do amazing things, and then they kind of started resting on their laurels. So I'm really hoping that AMD, you know, kind of kicks that up a bit.
Yeah.
Gets Intel sort of back into making these generational leaps rather than, I don't know, right now it seems like mostly what they're doing is, yeah, they're doing very incremental jumps, and the incremental jumps are mostly around power savings, which is good for the world. I'm not going to, you know, not going to complain about that, but power savings isn't what I'm looking for. You know, I'm looking for something that can just tear through footage, and you know, that's why I'm on the same CPU I have been for 4 years.
Yeah.
It's just kind of the best thing out there at this point.
I saw a video on the new AMD Epic, 64 actual cores, 128 virtual
threads.
Yeah, it was pretty impressive.
I mean, if you've got something that can take advantage of all those cores, that's going to be unbeatable, right?
Yeah.
Because to get into that, you are getting into the Xeon range, and it sounds like that's maybe what they're attacking with that. Like maybe they wanted to get into some server processing, but
yeah, it was more server related. I was like, oh, that would be I can't use any of that.
Yeah, so it's still, again, it's good to have the competition out there, and maybe it'll bring prices down a little bit. So
yeah, that would be nice.
All right, well, should we get to some of our answers? I don't have a question ready for this week. Do you have one that's brewing in your head?
Sure. Of the fall/winter holidays, if you will, what is your favorite and why?
Cool. So let's come back to that after we get their answers from last podcast's question. But I really like that one. So on the last podcast, we asked, moving, the worst or the absolute worst? I'll go first here. Matthew Hunt says the absolute worst, especially when everyone you've helped move in the last 15 to 20 years is suddenly not available. Particularly hurtful/annoying when you've supplied your vehicle and or trailer to help them out. Yeah, that's true.
Yep.
And it's just that is life. When you're helpful, oftentimes you are helpful in a vacuum.
Indeed. Rob McLennan says, haven't moved since 1976, and given the collection of crap I've made since then, it will be beyond the worst.
Oh, yeah. Rival guy succinctly says, absolute worst. Agreed.
Casey Lee says, absolute worst. I have been trying to move to the West Coast as upstate New York is progressively becoming a hole, and myself like an insect trying to escape an antlion. Parenthetical, hope to see you in a live play someday, Scott. I hope you get to do that too.
Now I want to play Sim Ant. Gordon Duke writes, the worst, W-U-R-S-T, because moving requires foods, which I guess the worst would be one of the foods you could eat.
Indeed.
Liver, brat, yes.
Yes, very handy. You can barbecue it. You can do it on the stove. Yeah.
Fits in the hand. It's the atheist's nightmare, Scott. Yeah. Bratwurst is the atheist's nightmare, Scott.
James Peters says, moving within the same city isn't the worst thing in the world. Moving across the Pacific Ocean, however, is a huge pain.
Well, the Atlantic probably wasn't a lot of fun either.
You know, it was just 8 suitcases in a box.
Yeah, that's true.
And it wasn't permanent.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't think his was permanent either, but, you know.
Well, I think he's talking about moving from Japan here.
Oh, yeah, that's
true. And that was permanent. But ours was, you know, temporarily permanent. So we had to take, you know, some essentials, but it wasn't like everything.
Right, true.
Coming back and shipping it was kind of a huge pain in the ass, and trying to bring Scotch back was a huge pain in the ass.
Of course.
Yeah, I'm lucky in that, you know, the longest I've moved probably was Vancouver to Tacoma. And that's only, you know, that's an hour and a half drive.
Yeah.
So that's just, you know, thrown in a U-Haul. It's kind of nice. Well, it would have been kind of nice if I'd known then what I know now, which is when you move, that's the time to start getting rid of shit. I just never got rid of anything. And so I still have boxes from, I believe, Spanaway at least, which would have been 96, that have not really been touched other than, oh, yeah, that's what's in that box, and then close it back up.
Yep.
So I really need to take some time to go through and Marie Kondo the shit out of my stuff.
Kondo? Yeah.
Kondo, yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. Kondo is a martial art.
Yeah, martial art. Yeah. Well, Kondo is a house, right? Or an apartment.
Yeah.
So for me, like the longest move where I wasn't a child and I had my own stuff and it wasn't a situation where I was literally living out of a car, was probably Boise to Seattle, when I came back, the most recent time. But that was really nice because Microsoft paid for and handled everything. So that was not a big deal. You know, the only shitty part about that was the temporary housing had bed bugs. So we got put into a new temporary house that night.
Mm-hmm.
They were very quick with that. And then, you know, waiting for the movers to be able to schedule a time to come and drop stuff off. You know, that was, which wasn't a big deal. This one was much harder, and it was just across, you know, the Sound. But it was harder because we did it, you know, we had to pack everything up ourselves, and we were emptying out multiple storage units and all that stuff. But it's done, and we don't have anything in storage now outside of the house. So
nice.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. All right, so to your question, Halloween is 100% my favorite holiday out of the fall-winter holidays. Fall is my favorite season. But fall and winter, I would happily have them alternate and just be the only two seasons. Frankly, I'm not a huge spring fan, and I'm definitely not a summer fan.
Mm-hmm.
Like my ideal mix would be 2 weeks of summer exist somewhere in the year. Maybe a month to anywhere between a month and 3 months of winter. And if you could split it up, that'd be even better. And then all the rest fall, forget spring. Fuck you, guy. Get out of here, spring. Spring is just like, it's all of the mud and grossness of fall, but none of the beautiful colors. And, you know, so it, I don't know, it just feels more like naked than fall. It doesn't feel as cozy. It feels like it's going to become summer. Ugh, I hate summer. But, yeah, that being said, Halloween is 100% my favorite holiday.
Yeah. It is not mine anymore. And I probably have to say Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Just because
it is a delicious
it's,
holiday.
It's family, it's delicious, it's food, it's a little football if I'm lucky. And that's it. There's no stress of presents. There's no inclement weather that may ruin your plans typically. Yeah, I think that one's my number one. And yeah, I don't like Christmas so. Because it's a week away from my birthday, which means, you know, I've got a long drought after that.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. The other thing I like about Thanksgiving is, in general, it's always a 4-day holiday.
Yes.
Without taking extra time off.
Yeah.
So that's really nice. You know, and I mean, like, for me, that's just so good. It's so good to have those 4 days in a row.
Well, and it's easy to plan for. It's not like this midweek thing where, crap, how do I do this? Might as well take the whole week off at this point.
Right, exactly. I do love the time between Christmas and New Year's because usually it's easy to take a few days off and stretch out that entire, like, 9-day period.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see how that works out this year. I haven't looked at the dates. I usually do like doing that, though.
Yeah.
So, cool. Well, let's get to some of your questions for us, the Bards, which you can, of course, post at discord.2bards.com. You know what? That probably doesn't work right now because my NAS is not hooked up to the internet. We might need to host that elsewhere. Anyway, if you're listening to this, you're probably already on our Discord. But
hopefully.
So Matthew Hunt writes, have you seen the Wendy's RPG? And if so, what are your thoughts? We talked about this the last episode, I believe.
Well, we talked about the KFC one.
Oh, right. The KFC one. The Wendy's RPG is a traditional. That's what I think happened. We talked about the KFC dating game. Mm-hmm. And Rob brought up the Wendy's RPG because it has classic. It's a classic RPG style with classes and everything. You can download it for free, I think, on their website. I mean, it's fine. Anything that gets people gaming, I don't like corporate culture. It would make much more sense as more of a Shadowrun thing. But yeah, I mean, hey, if it gets you into it, if you are somehow that big of a fan of a fast food chain that you wouldn't game unless their mascot told you to, more power to you.
I have not seen either. Don't understand how you would RPG a Wendy's.
They just throw characters and stuff on existing. So, like, I think Wendy is like a paladin style. Like, she's a paladin class kind of thing. So, yeah, it's just that. It's nothing. Don't read into it too much. It just, and this is just from a, you know, very cursory glance at it. But it looks like it's just a standard RPG with tropey RPG classes that they've branded. They basically put a skin on them.
See, now, if they made it an RPG where you got, like, you know, instead of gold, free Wendy's food, I would be all over playing that back in the day when I could eat that stuff. We need a keto RPG.
Exactly.
Casey Lee asks, what are the bards doing, if anything, for Halloween?
Sounds like Scott's prepping for a acting class, or for an auditioning class.
Yes, I'll be doing that. And then on the 26th, I'll be doing the Edgar Allan Poe reading. Otherwise, pretty much nothing for Halloween that I'm aware of yet. My social calendar has not yet been dictated to me.
So, obviously, on the 26th, I'm having my housewarming party, which is also sort of an impromptu Halloween party. So we'll be doing that. And then the 27th, we'll be going to Dennis's 40th birthday party.
Nice.
And I'm assuming that's also going to be somewhat Halloween themed. Halloween night, I plan on, you know, staying home and seeing what the situation is, re-trick-or-treaters. So we'll get a projector set up and project some creepy stuff, maybe, and yeah, watch some movies and stuff like that. But that's all I really have planned.
And then prep for your birthday.
Right, right, which is right in the middle of your acting class.
Yeah.
So,
perfect.
Indeed. Rob McLennan writes, any chance of a few video podcasts through the year once Andy gets the studio space and the garage set up? So the studio space is going to be an undertaking. I don't know when I want to actually start it. I've got the flooring. We still need a table saw before we can really get going on it because we have to be able to cut the flooring. But, yeah.
I have a table saw.
Oh, really? Interesting.
In the garage down. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, getting it out here would be kind of a pain, but we can see what we can do.
We can't move it. It's okay. Like a super industrial awesome one, so we'd need to bring stuff and then cut it down.
Yeah, that's probably, I don't know, I mean, at this point I could probably just jigsaw it. It's bamboo though, so it's gonna be, you know, it's gonna be burly. Yeah, so I've got to rip the carpet out of the space and then put in all of the wood, which requires cutting and whatnot. And then once that's all done, you know, it is going to be a space ready to go in terms of streaming and filming and all that stuff. So hopefully we'll be able to do stuff fairly shortly after that.
Yeah.
And I would definitely love to do at least the Christmas cast this year. Maybe get Brian out here. Because, I mean, we're going to have this beautiful snowy area and all that stuff. It could be really fun to do out here, but if not, we'll do it, you know, in town and we'll get it figured out. I really want to keep that tradition going as much as
yeah,
we can.
For sure.
Yeah.
Let's see. James Peters writes, I really enjoyed the segment with Rob and have usually enjoyed your guest appearances. Do you have any plans for any more? And would you consider pulling in people from Discord or Patreon?
I would absolutely consider that. The issue is, of course, proximity.
Yes.
The issue is always proximity because one thing we do not want to do is walk someone through setting up the setup we're on right now. We figured it out and we put in a lot of work to get this to work out well. You know, we got everything down. Getting a third person on that would be difficult. Also, you know, not a lot of people have recording equipment. And I don't know if you've listened to Skype podcasts, but I would rather just not have a guest than have the cutting out and the robot voice and the underwater voice and all that shit that happens during Skype podcasts. I really hate them.
Right. What we might be able to do, though, is since we have the Discord, which worked really well with having Rob, even though he was in the room, if someone does have the capability to record, you know, we could look at how does that get set up with, let's say, Audacity, since it's free, and how does that sound file then come in, and can we work with it?
This sounds like something we should definitely test out. So if you're listening and you're interested, hit us up on Discord and let us know, because if you have, at the very least, like, I would say bare minimum is going to be something like a Yeti. And if you have a Yeti, we're definitely going to need to get room tone off of you to clean it up and stuff like that. But if you have something decent to record on, yeah, reach out. I would love to do a test before we, you know, commit to actually doing a full podcast. But yeah, that would be great.
Yeah, the only trouble would be figuring out a good sync. I think one time in England we had said what we were going to try and get
a tone to play for all of us.
Yeah, a tone, or like I would put my headphones near a speaker or my mic, you know, put my headphones over the mic so that we could have a loud sound and then pick that up. And that didn't seem to work very well.
Yeah, that didn't work very well at all. The other thing we could, of course, do is literally all start on like an atomic clock page and pick a time and immediately and like sync, like everybody claps at exactly that time on their end.
Oh, that could work. Yeah.
Yeah. So it'd be fun to try out. So, again, if you have the ability to record better than headset quality, let us know. And if you're interested, obviously don't let us know if you like, yeah, I can record anything I want. I'm not gonna, I don't care about that, but yeah, I would love to get more people on. And absolutely, the Patreon would be a great place. The Patreon or the Discord would be a great place to pull that.
Yeah. And even if we just did, instead of a whole podcast, we did like interviews or just, you know, checking in, even if it was something that we could slap into the middle of a regular podcast, you know, maybe some format like that could work.
Which we've done before. And I actually really enjoy that stuff.
Yeah.
We haven't done like a man on the street interview thing, in a while. And that was really fun. Cause we would do when we're recording it, obviously we just do a pause. So it's usually like, and here we go and we're back, you know, and it's just fun to do. But that being said,
we haven't been invited to any cons in a while.
This is true. And the one con that we were invited to was canceled. So basically SpoCon can no longer afford to sponsor people, which don't absolutely go to SpoCon, help them out. It's a great con. It's run by very passionate people. But Scott and I just don't have the expendable income to go on our own money, you know, and we're not a big enough draw. Like I would definitely prefer SpoCon pull someone who is going to make tickets disappear than someone who's going to make, you know, 10 to 20 people super happy. Someone that size is going to make hundreds of people very happy. So I really, really encourage you, if you're in the Spokane area, please go check out SpoCon, volunteer with them. They're super fantastic. Mason is just one of the best people in the world. And, you know, they've all been working so hard. WorldCon basically kneecapped them, and they've been working super hard to keep, you know, this tradition that you know, it was a pretty, pretty long standing tradition. And it just kind of like got the wind taken out of its sails by one simple, I guess it was good for the town, but it was a bad choice for SpoCon. Basically, WorldCon came in and just ate everything that year. And it was really tough to get it going again. And so luckily, you know, really passionate people are behind it. So, and then the other cons that we normally go to, RadCon, we've kind of lost all of our, sponsorship there. So haven't been invited back to RadCon. And Snake River, apparently the owner is having some severe health troubles, so they're not doing a con this year. So yeah, ECCC is where I usually end up, but it's behind a booth working and selling stuff. So I'll probably be there again in March. That being said, it's not a spotlight con. So yeah, we don't get invited to cons right now.
So if you want us to come to your local con, or not local con, but can get us sponsored, let us know.
Let us know. So Matthew Hunt, who, by the way, if you can get us to a con in your area, primo A+, writes, what films or programs have you seen recently that you would recommend? Any coming up in the next couple of months? Yeah, like a few. So there's a lot out right now, like just a ton that's out. None of it's something I would say is like an absolute must watch on my side currently. There's a few things. There's that new Paul Rudd show on Netflix where he's a clone. That's
Living with Yourself.
Good. Living with Yourself. Yeah, that's supposed to be pretty good. I haven't actually dug into it yet. Expanse isn't, I'm not as huge of an Expanse fan as most people are, but it is, you know, it's pretty good sci-fi. Yeah, I can't really think of anything that I'm like, oh yeah, go out and watch it right now.
Can you talk again, Andy?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. There we go. Your last sentence had cut out, so I didn't know if I lost.
Oh, sorry. Discord problems. This is why we don't do it. We don't do it over Skype or Discord.
For me, we'll get into movies in a sec, but for me, for programs, new stuff, I think Dairy Girls isn't new. It's in its second season, but I really enjoyed that. One that I went back, kind of didn't like, and then gave it another shot was Schitt's Creek on Netflix.
Oh, Schitt's Creek. I love Schitt's Creek.
Which is great, and they just finished season 5 that came out. Mm-hmm. The Something Gemstones is turning out to be pretty good. That's a Danny McBride vehicle with a lot of people that you know. Walton Goggins comes on. He and Danny used to do Vice Principals on HBO.
Okay.
And that is John Goodman. John Goodman. Yeah. And a number of people that you see everywhere are on that.
Letterkenny is one that I would recommend now that I have a little bit more clarity. I'd say Letterkenny is a great comedy.
Yeah.
Obviously Rob can't deal with it cause it's too much. It hits too close to home for Rob. But for those of you who are not from rural Canada, Ontario, it's great.
And I am excited. It just dropped last night. But The Watchmen on HBO,
I haven't started that yet, but I'm going to
looks interesting. I'm excited for, though I'm not quite sure yet how I'll see it, wink wink, nudge nudge, Mandalorian is something that I'm excited for coming out, and HBO's got a number of new pieces that are dropping soon. The new Pope looks good with Malkovich and that British guy, Jude Law.
Jude Law, yeah.
And a couple other ones that look pretty good. But other than that, I'm kind of in the dark on, I think The Watchmen and Mandalorian are the two that I've been tracking and waiting to drop so that I can see what they're about.
Yeah, I'm super excited to watch The Watchmen. So who watches The Watchmen? I guess it's me.
Yeah.
We do. I liked Zack Snyder. It hurts me to say I liked something Zack Snyder did, but I liked his Watchmen quite a bit, actually, especially visually. I thought it was very well done. It had that noir feel. You know, it was well cast. It was extremely well cast.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. But of course, I hated the ending that he changed for no reason other than he has a hard on for God stories because he thinks he is one. So, you know, apart from that, it was pretty good. It missed a couple of like really key things that I would have definitely made sure to do that they will absolutely be able to do in a series.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so this isn't like super new now, but I do highly recommend The Boys for very similar reasons that I would, you know, that I enjoyed The Watchmen. It's an anti-hero story. And of course it's got, Carl Urban, who is just fucking amazing every time he's on screen, no matter where he's at.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, I think we talked about it a little bit before, but it's also got, Jack Quaid in it, who is Meg Ryan and Dennis Quaid's kid, who mm-hmm. looks exactly like if you were to draw Meg Ryan and Dennis Quaid's kid, or like do one of those photo booth things where it makes your potential baby, that's exactly what would come out of it. He's such a perfect amalgam of them both. But he's also a very good actor, and I really, really enjoyed him in it. It's subject matter is a little tough, but it's a really good show. But that feel is what I'm hoping transfers over to The Watchmen, like something yeah. along those lines. So,
yeah.
Movie wise, I have not seen a ton lately. I did not get to The Joker yet. I've read a little bit about The Joker, and it sounds like it's falling down. It sounds like the movie Falling Down, pretty much note for note, except with, you know, better acting. No offense. Kirk Douglas or Michael Douglas, not Kirk. That would have been a different movie. Holy shit. No offense, Michael Douglas. But it sounds like it's just Joaquin Phoenix absolutely does an amazing job. You obviously went and saw it.
Yeah. I don't see the fallen thing, but
you don't, do you remember Falling Down?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. So guy gets pushed to the end by society and fights yeah, back, that, right?
Yeah.
And granted, there's more to it than this. There's the mental illness piece. There's the fact that he was abused as a kid. Michael Douglas was literally just living a mediocre life, and that was too much for him. This one's a little more direct attacks, obviously. But Falling Down was really kind of that first society is the real villain kind of, you know, movie that I ever saw. And mm-hmm. the one big, so one of the big differences obviously is the desire for fame and to be known, that was not in Falling Down at all. But in Falling Down, he also got to do a funny thing with a bazooka. So, you know, you give and you take.
Joker's not really looking for fame either.
Well, that's true. That's true. He's using fame as a way to spread chaos, or using coverage as a way to spread chaos, which is totally a valid statement about modern, you know, like kind of how modern journalism sort of romanticizes these people who probably shouldn't be romanticized. But, and again, I have not seen the movie, but I've seen tons and tons and tons of deconstructions of it.
It's also not racist.
Falling Down is, you're okay, correct. Yes.
No,
Falling
no, no.
Falling Down is incredibly racist.
What I mean is there was a lot of posts going on, by people we know, who live out by you, who were saying that it was a racist movie, and I cannot fathom the logic in that.
I don't have Facebook, so I have no clue what you're talking about.
Yeah,
but I do. Yeah, I do know people who live out by me. So given the people I know who live out by me, I think I have a good idea of who it was, because one of them is not going to make that statement.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is not going to post on Facebook. And then the other people are probably the likely group. That being said, you know, I haven't seen it. I don't know. I do know that I love Joaquin Phoenix, and I do know that the production design on that movie looks intensely good.
Yeah.
In terms of like, because it's supposed to be set in the 70s, right?
Yeah.
Or is it supposed to be ambiguous?
No, I mean, it's pretty much that time period. Okay. And
well,
everything
looks like it.
Everything is spot on, including the film grain. And yeah, it's
nice.
I really need you to see it before I forget, or we need to go see it again so that I can remember. Cause yeah, that's one that I would love to talk to you about on many, many levels.
Yeah. It is one of my all time favorite trailers straight up. Like as a trailer, it is just, it's that trailer alone was art. That the mixing of Jimmy Durante's Make 'Em Laugh with Pagliacci, like, oof, so good.
Yeah.
So I've been watching a bunch of older movies lately, because it's, you know, Halloween time. You just watch Halloween movies, right? So rewatch The Exorcist. Still 100. I am so in awe of that film. That is a fantastic movie, from a production standpoint, from an acting standpoint. The director was enough of an asshole to like be famous for being an asshole, but on the same token, like the stuff that they got out of, you know, a relatively unknown child actor at the time and all of these other people. I mean, it was a dirty lived-in movie. Everything in it is so realistic and like filthy in the way that things are naturally filthy, not filthy in the way that Hollywood makes them filthy.
Yeah.
You know? So, and every shot in it means something. It is the best horror movie ever made. I mean, you don't even have to like it to just acknowledge the fact that it's the best horror movie ever made. In terms of like being completely and utterly so outside of what the norm was at that point, you know?
Yeah. Now, do you classify Aliens as a horror movie?
Aliens is an action movie. Alien. Horror. Yeah. Alien. Yes, it is. It's Jaws in space, for one. If Jaws is a horror movie, so is Alien. I would say Alien is much more atmospheric than Aliens. Alien builds on suspense. Alien has John Hurt. I mean, like, end of fucking chat, right? But
yeah.
It builds on a lot of stuff. The way they decided to cast people, every role was written gender neutral, and they just found the best person to fit the role. I mean, it is, again, this was the 70s, right? For the time it was made, it is mind-blowing that it happened. Something like that would be on the front page of every newspaper today, you know, as being something, you know, well, people would call it like SJW bullshit and stuff like that, you know, because the internet's full of idiots. But, you know, it just fucking kills. We watched Ghostbusters, which is potentially one of the most perfect comedies ever made. Still, you know, all these movies still hold up. They still hold up entirely, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's basically been that kind of thing. We watched Ernest Scared Stupid, because why the fuck not? It's terrible, but it's terrible in such a charming way. It is. Oh, here's what. So have you seen Ernest Scared Stupid?
I'm not sure. Probably.
Okay. So Ernest Scared Stupid, in that movie, Jim Varney was 41. Dude looked 60. Mm-hmm. You know, easy. I mean, I know that he chain smoked like through his eyeballs at one point, and that will age you. But the fact that he was 41 in that movie, you know, and you're looking at Paul Rudd, who's 50, is just mind boggling. But yeah, a lot of fun stuff.
On the Alien side of things, there's a really good documentary. I can't remember if I found it on Prime or Netflix. But I always thought it was Ridley Scott's thing, and it's not. And it's really interesting the whole process that it took and how unlikely it was that it got made. Someone is getting whiny. Stop it.
So I watched a documentary on Jawadowski's Dune. So he is a Spanish director who was going to make a 10-hour long Dune series that was going to be incredible. And he is who put Giger and Brian, what's his name?
De Palma?
The special, Brian De Palma's the director.
Right.
The guy who did the VFX on Alien, whose name I cannot remember. Okay. It might not be Brian now. It might not be Brian at all, but my brain really wants it to be Brian. Anyway, he's who put them together. And they started, like, Giger and, he had all these sketches that were already kind of, like, a lot of the way there for Alien. And this VFX guy is like, we got to do the thing, you know. And so, yeah, there's so much more behind Alien than, you know, just Ridley Scott wanting to do a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the whole... the studio didn't want to do it at points, and they thought it's a fucking great movie, and you should definitely go look up as much of the history as you can. It's fantastic. Well, that's all I got, Scott. So
it's about all I got. Someone's about to explode, so it's
probably a
good
thing.
Well, we
should probably get to thanking our Patreon patrons: Hawk Robinson,
James Peters,
Leslie Sedlak,
Rob McLennan,
Stuart Hume,
Zombie Orpheus Entertainment,
Gordon D. Duke,
Dennis Nickel,
happy birthday, Dennis, Jay Blanken,
Casey Lee,
Dougie Sharp,
Laura Red Scott,
Seth M. Davis,
Todd McKimmy,
Lada Jerv,
Tom Brophy,
Laura Adams,
James Herbert,
Brad McGowan,
Bo Pritchard,
Tim Martin,
Brad Roberts,
Jennifer Reifenberry,
and Rival Guy.
Thank you all for your support. We really appreciate it.
Yes, thank you very much.
We should have another one of these before Halloween, but just in case, happy Halloween. Yeah, Halloweeners.